Hello again, I'm Mike Morin, and welcome to Reset. 40 is the new happy, where I introduce you to people who find new inspiration in midlife, often through reinventing themselves. Carol Phillips powered her way through adversity on the way to becoming a recognized expert in health education. Now a leader in worksite wellness, Coach Carol is the author of 52 Simple Ways to Health. She's also a speaker and a regular guest on WTPL, The Pulse. So, Carol, to get the full appreciation of the mountain that you climbed, let's go way back and start with some of the post-high school jobs that you held.
Post-high school. Well, I was actually in banking when I left high school and worked in banking for several years. And then after my children were born, I wanted to be home with them. I didn't want to be out in the working world. They were in daycare for a little bit, and I said, this just isn't feeling right. So I offered daycare in my home for 4 years so that I could be home with them and they could learn to socialize with other children. And then when they went back to school full time, I went back to work full time in banking and thought that just doesn't feel right anymore. I want to be more on their schedule. If they have a snow day from school, I want to be home with them. So I ended up piecing together 3 or 4 different part-time jobs so that I could be on their schedule. And one of them was driving a school bus, which people are always surprised to hear. Yes, and it was one of the big ones. And I did after-school daycare. I also worked for a mystery shopping company out of Hooksett, which allowed me to work at home, do the work at home, which was great. And so I did that for several years, and then I started teaching fitness classes because that I could also do, you know, on their school schedule. And that's when I really got into starting in health and wellness.
All right, so you enroll at Manchester Community College. You're a single mom. You're working full-time. Did college finally become a priority as you thought about life after child rearing?
Absolutely. I knew that health and wellness was where I wanted to be. And I thought it was going to be strictly fitness because that's the path that I had chosen. I love psychology, but I decided I wanted to go to school for exercise science. But then I learned that there's a lot of psychology involved in helping people to make healthy choices. So it was a perfect fit. And I earned my degree in exercise science and became a certified personal trainer. And that was wonderful. And at the time, I was also working for the state of New Hampshire. And then Governor Lynch realized the importance of worksite wellness and issued an executive order stating that he wanted every agency to have a wellness coordinator to promote health and wellness in the workplace to them and their families, which is important. And the commissioner at my agency immediately offered me the position, knowing that I had, you know, the fitness background. And that's when I realized that health coaching and covering all topics related to health and wellness were really my passion. I wanted to go more in that direction. So I went back to school for health education and fell in love with worksite wellness, which I could reach more people and help them at one time instead of working with individuals.
Let's just talk a little bit more about some of the obstacles that you overcame, because you're building a nice career, you're doing things that you like, you're getting the college you need, but then you go from being a mom to becoming a caretaker for your mom, who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Was this maybe the toughest part of your journey on several levels?
Absolutely. Unless you've walked in those shoes of being a caregiver, especially with a disease like dementia, where every day that goes by becomes more and more challenging, that definitely is. And then, you know, most of the time, caregivers are family members, so you're emotionally involved with that person, and you're watching them decline, and it's very, very difficult. It's mentally and physically demanding. There isn't enough help available for these seniors, and it gets to the point where they can't be left home alone at all because of safety issues. Their brains aren't telling them what's dangerous and what's safe. So, yes, it's a 24/7 job, and then many people are trying to hold down full-time jobs at the same time and then becoming less productive at work. So, you know, the issues just compound over time. It's very difficult, very sad.
I'm going to guess that all these obstacles or setbacks or kind of, you know, crooks in the path made you more appreciative and made you work harder to get to where you are.
Right. When I'm working with employees who are struggling with this, and I'm working also with the employers, I help, you know, get resources for the employees, but also talk to the employer about if you're willing to help this employee get through this tough time, they will be so much more loyal to you when they come out the other side, instead of just saying, okay, you're not working hard enough, we're going to replace you, which is costly for an employer, and then you've lost that loyalty along the way. And, you know, the example I give is the market basket strike, because look at what employees who live paycheck to paycheck were willing to sacrifice for a multimillionaire CEO who was dedicated to his employees, who got to know them, you know, tried to give them more benefits than most companies, and in return they were loyal, you know, to him to an amazing degree.
That was a remarkable story, and I think it's being used essentially as kind of a snapshot for a lot of business colleges now that never saw anything like it in industrial history.
Absolutely. When the market basket strike started and was on the news, I vividly remember grabbing my cell phone and calling my children, who are now grown, and said to them, follow this on the news, because this is going to be in the history books. This is unheard of. And this is what companies really need to focus on, is the more you give your employees, the more they will give back to you.
All right, so you become, as you move along here, as a business person, a lot more savvy using the media to create awareness for your services. So how did you start unlocking that key to exposure?
Well, what happened was after I earned my degree in health education, I worked for several different companies that do worksite wellness. And I always wanted to start my own business, and actually had registered a business name, and the full-time job I was working for, they closed my department and I ended up getting laid off. And I always taught my children, where one door closes, a better one's going to open. So, you know, keep a smile on your face and keep looking ahead. So when I was laid off, I said, okay, yeah, that's what I need to do. And so I jumped in with both feet and started my own business, and decided at one point that I wanted to write a book to reach more people, especially the least fit employees who struggle. They don't show up for the wellness initiatives. Maybe the book can give them some tools to use. So along this path of having this big new learning curve of book writing and book editing and book publishing, I also needed to learn the media side, because to market a book, you need to connect with media. So I ended up reaching out and asking for referrals, which I got a great referral to Ken Kale from yours truly, and had a great meeting with him, and he offered me my first radio interview to promote my book.
Let's talk for a minute about progressive companies. When I think of a progressive company, I think of Google. They really treat their employees well. Are there many New Hampshire businesses that offer workplace wellness or worksite wellness programs? Or are there becoming more and more of them?
There are becoming more and more of them. It really is all over the map. You know, it all depends on whether the employer realizes that wellness is an investment and not an expense. And now we do have the studies to quantify wellness to show that it's a really good investment. But now there are some companies saying, you know, we're not really seeing a good return on investment for wellness. But when you dissect the situation, sometimes it's because they're not rolling out an effective wellness program, or they're pushing the education on their employees, and over time the employees are getting turned off by that, so they're finding every excuse to not show up for the wellness programs. So you need to have more components in a wellness program than just the education. It needs to be motivational, it needs to be fun and welcoming, and that will make a huge difference in the employer getting the return. But I must correct myself. When I said yours truly earlier, yeah, I was talking about you, Mike Morin, not me. So
to meet Ken Kale.
Right, to meet Ken Kale. So.
And you do a regular radio, because we didn't make that clear, a regular radio program each week with him, and that's all part of the exposure to get your branding out there, which is what you need to do, because essentially nobody knew who you were.
Right, absolutely. And sometimes it's hard, you know, for people to, especially in a field of health, like people who are in health usually are givers, and they're focusing on helping other people. So it was a learning curve for me to turn around and have to start focusing on me and getting my name out there so that I could get the books in the hands of the people who needed the help. So the partnership with Ken Kale has been wonderful.
All right, so as far as the book goes, will there be any extensions, new versions, an app? What's up with that?
Well, with this book, which speaks to the individual, I just created the audiobook, so now it's paperback ebook and an audiobook. But my second book is going to be directed to the companies. So it's going to be the do's and don'ts of worksite wellness so that companies can realize what they're doing that's keeping them from getting a better return on investment, and then they can really increase their bottom line. But the other idea is to turn my 52 Simple Ways to Health book into a calendar and an app so that it's easier for people to focus on one new idea each week to improve their health.
Just to go back to what you talked about, getting people motivated within a worksite to become a part of the program that you're suggesting, do employers find they need to incentivize this to some degree? Because we all know that compliance is always well-intentioned but doesn't always work out. So are companies finding a way to kind of push people along and motivate them, maybe from a financial point of view?
They do, and that's what's been really interesting is I am now bringing up the point of our incentives, the way they're being rolled out now, not such a great idea. Sometimes incentives are a good thing to motivate the employees, but overall, so many incentives have been rolled out and they've been dangled like a carrot to the employees. And over time, the employees, they kind of get tired of that. And it actually works against our primal desire to take care of ourselves and be motivated from within, so intrinsically motivated to make changes, which needs to be the focus instead of these external gratifications. And sometimes people don't even realize why they're shying away from them. And years ago, I was the health coach in a supermarket chain, and there were some incentive funds available. And over time, they cut that budget. And people thought, well, how are we going to go on without the incentives? And so I went to the employees and I said, well, I think this is the best news ever. And they said, why? And I said, because we're supposed to be focusing on our health being priceless, not our health being tied to a $50 gift card. So what I said to them was, you tell me more about what you want to do for wellness, and we're going to figure out, new ways to make it even more fun than what we've already been doing. And what happened was the participation in my programs actually went up, because then I really got the people to be focusing on taking care of themselves for longevity, and so that they're healthier and happier with their, spend more time with their families and friends.
Final question, you climbed a pretty tall mountain to reinvent yourself the past few years. Offer advice to others who might just be starting their second acts in life.
I would say the number one focus should be to follow their instinct, right? We all have gifts. We all are here for a purpose. And what usually happens is people keep their dreams inside. And they listen to the naysayers, and they listen to that doubting voice in their head. So listen to your gut instinct. Decide how you're going to make it work, and follow your dreams, because that will take you to places you never dreamed possible if you just get past those little roadblocks that keep you back.
Carol Phillips is a worksite wellness coach and expert, and author of 52 Simple Ways to Health. Carol, thanks, and have a great new year.
Thank you for having me, Mike. Happy New Year, everybody.